Are you ready to listen to a podcast?
Here comes the Playhouse Podcast. Thanks to Bradshaw and Brian Law Offices.
Find, subscribe, and listen.
Did you miss a show? Download the podcast now.
Hey, it's Elena J. What are you more scared of, the attic or the basement? If you've never lived in Minnesota but recently moved here, you might be a transplant and you might be having some issues. What is one thing you couldn't get used to in Minnesota? And JJ just realized that he's wasting tons of money on bottled water in his household. What are you wasting your money on? All of this plus so much more is coming up in the Playhouse Podcast, which starts now.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how scared are you of your basement?
Scared? I am probably at like an 8. It's more of like an uncomfortable feeling. We don't have any shades on our windows, no window coverings. So it's just like you see the outside, they can see inside. It's just cold cement. It's not welcoming at all yet. And I've been starting to convince Liam to go grab things down there that I need, you know, like laundry and stuff. Can you just go get it? I broke my leg.
That's my favorite. I'll time you.
I'll time you. And he falls for it. So I want to know. And it's always been like that for a lot of reasons. I don't know why, but a lot of people's basements just skeeve me out. But I want to know, what do you hate more, an attic or a basement?
Elena, what are you more scared of?
Well, in the house that I grew up in, definitely the attic. It was in a detached garage. And right when you opened the door to go in the garage, you would look to the left and there would be the stairs. And you would look up there and it was always so dark and creepy. And you're like, what's up there?
There's usually that one light bulb hanging by a wire that you got to pull the string on, right?
It's flickering.
It's never an actual light fixture. It's just the bulb there. And then most of the time it doesn't work either. Allie, tell me about your dad and the shotgun here.
My dad, when I was growing up, we had a bunch of sounds in our attic.
Okay.
And he went up to see what it was, and it was a bunch of bats.
Of course.
Oh, no.
So he went and got his shotgun and took the shotgun to go shoot the bats out.
Sure.
And he ended up blowing out an entire wall because he hit, I was like a gas line or something.
Oh, my God.
And ruined an entire side and floor of our house trying to shoot at bats.
Right.
Was he surprised at the outcome that there were holes in the wall?
I think this is one of the major reasons that if you, you know, call like an exterminator, they don't bring shotgun.
Yeah.
But, you know, good on your dad. I get it. He wants to, you know, right to bear arms and kill bats and stuff like that. Brittany, you had nightmares of was it the attic or the basement?
And I rented a house back when I was in my 20s with a bunch of friends, and they would scare me and hide down in the basement with a Michael Myers mask, and I would never get out of the basement at all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even go down there to do laundry, so all my friends got a kick out of it, and now my husband gets a kick out of it.
See, now this is funny the first time.
And then, obviously, it has followed her throughout her adult life.
When you realize somebody has giant panic attacks because of the Michael Myers masks in the basement.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's such a great thing
anymore. That's who I feel is behind me, too. You know, somebody that has a long butcher knife. And you never know.
And you have no way of getting into your basement unless you come through the main level. Is that correct?
Yeah. Because it's inside my house. So... he's in there.
People are a little weird. What are you more scared of? Your basement or your attic?
You.
Why?
Why do you say that?
What?
Like, you know what you're saying.
This basement?
No.
What are you most scared of? Oh, is it your basement or is it your attic? Jordan, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. What are you more scared of, your attic or your basement?
Well, they both get me, but the attic definitely is number one. There, in our attic, it's completely unfinished, and there's like this little room towards the back of it.
Yeah.
And there's a mattress, and we really try not to go up there because, and when we do, I'm always like, all right, we got to go, because I just can picture like a little girl in a rocking chair, like rocking, and then all of a sudden she just like crawls out of the room and come gets me, even
that
though I see everything that's in there.
Very specific. But I want to know, did the mattress come with the house?
Yeah.
Bonus.
Scary.
Yep.
Great.
There's actually two mattresses up there, but yeah, it's a rental, so I'm like, I can't do anything about it.
Don't you want to crawl up there with a six-pack of IPAs and make a fort?
No, not at all.
Why don't you go up with a Ouija board?
Not even a little bit.
And see what you can find.
But, yeah, I'd rather not. Not
all
upset
right.
The spirits at all.
But you think that little girl's going to come kill you, so you're scared of it.
Yeah, we keep the door locked, and there's no access to the attic if you really want to. We have to unlock it, but
do you start to hear the Jumanji music from behind it?
Like, right, and all of a sudden it's just black.
Yeah, scary.
Hey, thanks for checking in.
Those light strings that hang from the top—that always gets me in the basement too.
Hey, real quick—is it one of those attics that there's like no light fixtures, but it's just the dangling light bulb with the little pole switch?
I don't even think there's a light up there, so we have to go during the day.
Yeah.
Extra creepy. Yeah. And then, so it's unfinished, so in order to keep the heat out of there, there's like this big giant trap door that comes down and covers the stairs, too, The thing's like 100 pounds, so that's even, like, if that closes while you're in the attic, might as well just end it.
Is it those fold-down stairs, then, when you open that door, the stairs kind of come down and hit you in the face?
No, it's like you walk. So you open the door to the closet, there's like a clothes rack on the right, you step up the stairs, and then you like turn around, and it's like a full flight of stairs that goes upstairs.
Oh my gosh.
So weird.
How old is this house?
I believe it was built in 1901, and The stairs look rather new, so I feel like, I don't know.
Hey.
It's just weird.
I just thought about this. You gotta go up there and not be as scared. And cut one of those mattresses open, because people back in the day used to hide all their money in the mattresses.
Oh yeah, you could run into some loot.
Not my problem.
Well, hold on. If I told you there was $10,000 in that mattress, you're still not doing it?
That's it, yeah. Yeah, I might have to.
See, money talks. If you're scared, money talks.
That is true.
Well, safety in numbers. Don't go up there alone.
Buy myself a therapist with that money, right?
There it is, Jordan. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
See, be like Jordan. Don't be scared.
We got a text. Is JJ saying a scared?
No.
I can't deal. Yeah, he is. And he won't stop.
Remember?
It's driving me crazy.
Remember when people showed up at the radio station because I kept saying Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I do. That was not a lovely day.
All right, Gary, how are you, man?
I'm very well, thank you. And yourself?
Gary, thank you for asking. We're doing very well. We were talking about people who are transplants, not necessarily from here. And obviously you're from Great Britain.
I am.
What part?
I am from Bedfordshire, a little county near Cambridge.
Oh, my God. Do you know all the people from Bridgerton? Am I super ignorant?
All of them. We talk every Wednesday.
Oh, wonderful.
When you got here, what's the hardest thing to get used to?
There was a lot to get used to. There's an awful lot. It's kind of the saying that the more things are different, the more they stay the same.
Okay.
But I think one of the strangest things I had to get used to was ice fishing.
Okay, and this
because
weekend, by the way, have you ever gone ice fishing?
I have. I went, I think, within the first 2 weeks of me being here.
Okay, and what was it, what was so off about it to you? Just the fact that people would just sit on buckets and put a line into a circle?
There's just not a way to explain it to someone that doesn't know what it is without making you sound crazy.
Yeah.
I think a lot of
people
drive
out on a frozen lake with a big drill.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that these lakes freeze over. Like, in parts of the world where you don't get this extreme cold, they're like, wait, what? That lake, that river freezes over? They're like, that's just an obscene gesture to a lot of people.
And then driving on it.
Oh, yeah. That one scares me. You will never see me driving on ice.
What else is hard to get used to, Gary?
Definitely the waving, like you mentioned before. After I was with my wife and we kind of moved over here, we were driving through a little neighborhood, people waving. Did you know that person?
Are you so used to the Queen's stiff? Because you know the Queen, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, so I learned when I was watching The Crown that she waves like just with her hand straight because she doesn't want to get arthritis in her wrist. You know that? It's true. She said
I didn't know that was why. I knew the Queen's... Everyone knows the Queen's wave. I didn't know that was why.
I can't believe you didn't know. God. I knew.
Now,
I'm not
if you could live either here or back in England for the rest of your life, where would you be?
Oh, it would be here, absolutely.
Wow, even during these crazy times, huh?
Even during these crazy times, because there's no place like home.
Do people in England look at us like a bunch of savage idiots?
Dumb, ugly Americans?
Not so much Northern America. The Northern states.
Okay.
Oh, they think of Americans as like, you know, your Kentucky hillbilly in the mountains kind of thing?
when they think of the South, that's kind of what jumps to mind. I can't really remember what the stereotype is for Northern Americans.
Okay, so one last question before we let you go, because I have wanted to run into a Brit for a few weeks now. So now that I have you on the line, this is good. Do you guys hold the monarchy on a certain level, or are they not that big of a deal? Because over here, they're royalty. That's kind of a big deal. But over there, is it a big deal?
There are two schools of thought, and there are the royalists, which do hold them in a high regard, and it's a growing kind of movement where maybe not so much. I personally am very much a royalist. I do like the royal family. I like that we have it, and I like what they do for the public.
Yeah, I love them.
But that's not a view shared by a lot of the British.
Okay, interesting.
Fair enough. Do you feel that people in Canada are your cousin then, or do you just outright not worry about them?
I really feel that. Yeah.
All right, well, cheerio.
Gary, you're the best. I'm glad you classed up our show a hell of a lot today, so thanks for coming on here.
Happy to be of service. All right.
Buck, buck, cheerio. Right.
Goodbye.
Fair enough. Hey, Eric, that's going to be a tough one to follow, but what do you love? Where are you transplanting from, by the way?
So, for me, I'm originally from Minnesota, but I was down in Louisiana for 3 years, and I moved back from Minnesota, more to Minnesota, and how we always talk about Minnesota nice up here is complete difference Minnesota nice down or nice down there. Having it where, you know, down there, you know, we're generally nice up here. We'll help anybody, but with their extent of being nice, you know, they'll say, thank you very much. We appreciate everything. You know, for us, when we get done, you know, helping someone out, we say, yep, no problem. You know, and kind of carry on.
Sure.
Well, I was helping one of my buddy's families, you know, moving some furniture and stuff. And I said, you know, after everything got done, you know, they're like, oh, thank you. You know, it was so much of help and everything. And I said, yep, no problem. And they took that as an offense where, you know, I was being rude to them.
Really?
Like, oh. I didn't say, you're welcome. You know, I just said, yep, no problem. And my buddy, you know, talked to me after, but he's like, you know, my parents thought you were kind of rude to them. What'd you say? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you know, they said, thank you very much. And all you said was, yep, no problem.
So were they expecting you to thank them for letting you help them?
He missed the cadence. The cadence is you're welcome.
Okay.
The cadence. Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't know I was being rude. That's just how we normally do it up here.
I take offense to this all the time. With my family, if I say thank you and they don't say you're welcome, I light them up all the time. I go, you mean you're welcome?
Yeah.
And then they go, yeah. Like, I don't know why. I just always thought that was the proper cadence. So I do this all the time to people.
Oh, I always say, yep, no problem.
Huh.
I always do that.
Wow. Fantastic. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, thanks for sharing with us, Eric. Welcome back, by the way. It's good to have you.
Yeah, thank you.
I got a text a couple of seconds ago, and David said the word pop. And I know you guys both use this, but I use soda all the time. He said he's from California. It's soda or Coke. When you go down south, if you go like southeast, and you order a soda, that you order a Coke, and then they say, what do you want? You say a Coke or a Pepsi.
That's so confusing. I actually say soda or pop. I say both. I did see this one. Transplant from South Africa. Biggest difference was leaving doors unlocked, keys in car running during winter, and then filling up your own gas in your car. Listen, I don't advise leaving anything unlocked anymore. I know that when I was growing up in Anoka, nobody locked their doors. You used to go in anybody's house that you knew, but we would wake up, our door's still unlocked.
Filling up your own car with gas. That's interesting. So I'm guessing
so in
that,
New Jersey, they do it for you, you know.
That's a law there, I think.
Yeah.
I think they have to do it. I don't think there's a self-service gas station in Jersey. It's one of those old weird laws.
Okay.
And I'm guessing in South Africa now, you know, obviously, I remember as a itty-bitty kid having my dad pull up to a gas station, having someone come out there, clean the windshield for you, check the air pressure in the tires, check your oil while they were filling your gas. I remember like once as a little kid being part of something like that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I just remember it from like Back to the Future.
So the only gas station here in Minnesota that has ever done that for me and they insist on pumping for you is that Charlie Brown looking one in Elk River right before you get
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
To the train tracks.
Yes.
Like the guy will come out and he'll wipe down your window for you and he'll put the gas in your car. And
we're at a point in our society right now where you feel weird about that, right?
Yeah, I can do it myself.
Somebody else, Jason had texted in, I've lived here all my life. I still can't get used to the Minnesota goodbye. I don't with this.
I can't.
My wife is all about doing this whole, but I just put my shoes on. I go, all right, see you later.
Sometimes I don't leave because I don't want to say goodbye to everybody because it's so much hugging.
What they call it the Irish goodbye where you just up and leave and you don't tell anybody you're leaving? I do that all the time.
I get jealous. There's a Talbot side of my family and they are famous for this. They'll just like all be gone. They just leave and you don't know. And then you text, are you okay? And they're like, yeah.
That's the thing. Somebody's going to text you. All right. And usually I'll get home or whatever, but like, thanks for a good time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to say goodbye for 45 minutes. I hate that. Now, he's been waiting forever.
Oh.
A couple people that call the show on the regular that I get a real kick out of. Local rapper Jerry has to have caught a case because we haven't heard from him in way too long. But it seems like on my uncle's farm, when a dog would die, we'd throw him in the manure spreader, and it just seemed like another dog would always take its place. And that's what I feel like we got going on with Richard here. And Jerry kind of quit calling. Richard's here doing what today?
Sit on my ass and eat sugar cubes.
Wow.
Jeez,
all right. Well,
be fun.
I ask this question to a lot of people every single day when they call the show. I'm like, what's the plan? But I don't think anyone's ever said that. Is this basically just to stimulate your mind?
Oh, yeah, I'm bored. Yeah, I do mind exercises all day long.
So you have literally, you have no motivation to get up and get a job or anything like that?
I applied for a job at your crappy radio station, but you guys never call me back.
Wow, okay.
And because I don't remember that point, like what would you think would be your skill set that would set you apart to be able to get a job at our crappy radio station?
I can be a comedian just like you guys.
Oh, sure. You know, I would not say that we are comedians by any chance. But if you had to tell us something funny, go ahead. You're on the spot. Hey, everybody, it's Richard in the Playhouse. Say something funny.
I love you guys. Thanks for having me on. This back pain I'm having sucks. Kat is the nicest, coolest person on the face of the planet that should probably call me back offline so I don't have to blush by the weird comments that JJ is making.
You already said I wasn't your type. Like you were hardcore hammering home that you did not find me attractive.
But you're hot. I want to go on a lunch date.
Shut up. Gross.
When you're literally weeks away from walking down the aisle with your beautiful bride and you look to her just after her 27th birthday and say, oh my God, you're graying out.
Yeah, Melissa.
Is she wigging out about this? Because I could only assume this isn't making her pleased before the wedding.
Not really. I'm surprised. I thought she'd be freaking out a little bit more, but I was like, oh my gosh, what's on your hair?
And oh, she that's just has nice,
this one little gray hair just kind of like stringing out, you know? And
you should have named it. That would have really made her mad.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, but
called
she goes,
Gertie.
I know what caused this. And I'm like, what caused it? And she goes, 2020, the year. It just caused it for her. So right. Much stress, anxiety. So that's what's it. So I wanted to know what caused your gray hair.
Miranda texted in, my 17-year-old kid, he's been a butthole all year. It happens, man. I'm telling you, those teenage years, I think it's the boys. They turn into just jerks for a while, and then you get them back.
Girls are awful. I'm excited for my boy.
What do you blame your gray on?
I really don't have a lot, so I can't really blame it on anything. I don't have like a lot of stress in my life, and I like to keep it that way. I don't like have a lot of chaos, or I handle it well, I should say. But I will die with jet black hair. My psychic said I'll live a long life. I'm going to be 90 in that casket with jet black hair. So natural.
I think my grays come from time bandits.
Mm.
It's one of my biggest.
Like, I didn't get anything
problems
from anybody,
in my life.
So
no, just, it just when you waste my time, it's these meetings where nothing happens.
I know.
You have to be at a spot to sit there for somebody to tell you nothing's going on. Oh, my God. I can feel my blood pressure going up right now.
I can see it.
The vein in the side of my head, if I pushed on it right now, I would pass out. Mm. So I want to know, like, what made you go gray? Becky, tough year?
So we recently just moved out to the country and live next to a cow farm. Mm. And they have an electric fence.
Okay.
And one day they decided to turn the fence on, and my shoulder hit the electric fence, and I got shocked.
Nice.
And the next morning, I found a gray hair on that side of my body, on my head, where I got shocked by the electric fence.
Okay. I don't know if we've got any medical personnel that can actually chime in on this, but I, as a subscriber to the New England Journal of Medicine, can with a fair conscience say that getting shocked by an electric fence does not give you a gray hair.
Speaking of gray hair, we had a girl that worked here in promo, Courtney, who had gray hair since she was 8 years old.
She had like a streak.
Wow. But it was a lot of gray.
Yeah.
But she owned it.
Yeah, she pulled it off. Beth, I know you've been waiting for a while to tell us about this. You're a teacher, right?
So I'm a teacher, and I am doing remote teaching this year.
Sure.
So that kind of gave me a few gray hairs in the beginning.
Makes sense.
First day, I actually started with hybrid, so I had in-class students and remote students. Yeah. So that caused a gray hair, and then after 7 days, they split, so I became just the remote teacher, and then there was in-class teachers, so that was easier, but yeah, in the very beginning, it was very stressful.
So, and Elena, tell everybody, thank you, by the way, for the call. Elena, tell everybody what your fiancé does for a living.
She's a software engineer.
So does she find that stressful?
I think she has a bunch of meetings, too, where nothing gets done. Mm-hmm. So, like, her entire day from 8 to 5 is Zoom meetings where she just sits there and she just sits there.
God, I just...
annoying. I think working from home would be so... Unless you got a groove and, like, a mm-hmm. schedule, that would be... I would die. I need to be out of the house.
Can you hear? I can almost feel my heart beating right now through my headphones.
Yeah.
Like, the meetings that don't do anything have me so on tilt.
So Liam got a new crazy like Uno game where it spits out.
Yeah, we have that where it's just kind of
cards. Yeah, it's like super violent. And
this is the commercial.
So don't wait another second to shout Uno.
Yeah. You can find it in the games aisle.
I just have a lot of my mom. When it comes to winning and like doing anything you can to win and you're ruthless and you just don't care about other people's feelings. I have a lot of that in me.
That's heavy.
And when you're 8, I think you're well past the point of like people coddling you, letting you get the old maid. You know what I mean? I'm just like, meh. And he was starting to lose and the cards were coming out so fast and he just started losing his mind. And I clapped in his face. I said, get it together. And Derek's like, can't you just be a little bit more like affectionate,
compassionate in a game at age 8? Never.
That's what I thought.
Never, David.
I know. That's you, David, to me. When you ask me to let you win just because you're 8.
Hold on. What'd you about Elena?
I feel like 8 is still pretty young. Like, that was kind of harsh. Don't you think?
No, I don't think that.
Oh, here
and
comes
you have
the,
said that stuff before the in the past when we play basketball outside and you think it's harsh that I slap the ball out of his hand as he goes up. But guess what? That's going to happen in a game.
I know, but he's 8. I mean, at least like wait until he's 10 or you know what I mean? Like older, because he's still trying to build confidence. You know, you want him to think that he's a good basketball player, build that confidence, and then maybe let, you know, another kid in the game do it, but not his mom.
No, I want him to be a good basketball player, not think that he's a good basketball player. Then I got a poser on my hands and that's a different story. That's just embarrassing.
I don't know. I just think you're knocking his confidence like way too early.
How long are you going to let young Avery win when you guys are playing whatever Tiddlywinks or whatever it is?
I don't know. Until he's like 10, 11, 12-ish maybe.
12 years old. We're headed to middle school with some confidence.
Why wouldn't you want him to live in the real world? You're never the best at everything.
Derek has a hard time with my smack talk too. Maybe I do go a little bit far every now and then, but I don't like put him down.
No. They gotta learn. Like, they're gonna get 8 up in middle school otherwise.
I know. I love doing that. In your first, or like I'm just gonna leave my hand up here because it feels so good.
Yeah, but you're also teaching him to do that. So bad sportsmanship. You're doing that, and then what is he going
to
do?
Teaching him to win, to be a competitor, and to win, and to give a full effort so that you get the dub, not just sixth place trophy in this world of ribbons.
I hate this. Goes through the net like butter. It's a good feeling, and I think it's okay to like celebrate it a little bit. I don't want him to be one of those like punks that rubs at your face. I want him to be like super cool, like he does it all the time, you know?
And then be humble about it?
Yeah.
You can do, well, I don't know if you can really do that with the way you're teaching him.
I know. But Derek's like on your side, Elena. He's like, can't you just lay off?
So you it's would just say, a game. If it's Kat and her son in the driveway playing hoops, you would say let him win until he's how old?
Until he's, I don't know, after 10 at least.
Jenny is like so on board with us. She says, I'm too competitive to let them win. Maybe end it at five. Five, yeah, because then you got to like, they need to know how to play it right. Because if they're going to cut corners and expect to win in that, where does it stop?
But they're just starting to play the sport at age five, you know?
By age four, both my sons could skate circles around me.
Yeah.
And they
you wouldn't have cried if they
got their win. You know what I did is I tried harder. And then when I couldn't beat them, I quit. That's what the real life is. you try. And if you can't win, then you quit.
Oh, you're like the NBC Peacock.
That's exactly where I'm at. And listen, my oldest son is going to turn 19 this July. I will not check out until he can prove that he can beat me in a race, a 40-yard dash, or that he can bench press more than me. When he proves that, then I will take it upon myself as a grizzly old man to become faster and stronger. And then on his next birthday, I'll beat him. That's what being a competitive human being is all about.
You know who suffers with that? You bring that here. And I have to suffer with your complaining about how much you're trying to stay strong to beat your boys. And you can't.
But I can.
If so many people tell you you're dead.
None of them are even ready to step up to this yet. Right. I will be as competitive as I can until they're 50. But I'm telling you, at two is I think when they could put together a real sentence is when I'm like, all right, I'm done letting you win.
I just wanted to put that out there. If you want to text in an age, because we have to get to the last round of paparazzi. But is there an age where you just let them stop winning and then life starts? You know, you can't win at everything.
Two is what I'm going with.
Oh, no, I let them win at two. I would say I'm with Jenny, maybe five. Five is when they can really start understanding.
You guys are the real problem with the competitive nature of the United States of America right now. Everybody just wants to feel good. Oh, just let them be happy. Oh, this is why we're losing in everything we're doing. It's your fault, Elena.
It's Elena's fault.
Weird news.
I mentioned it, I think, just a couple of months ago. You learned what a throuple was. That is a couple with three people in it. So a brilliant combination. And now there are new ways to address what this situation is. It is a throuple in Seattle, but they all identify as mythical creatures. So you have Lolly, the fairy princess, Gunther, the troll, and Ian, the leprechaun.
It is a closed polycule for those who are familiar with the terminology, meaning we consider ourselves a closed family unit. When we first met, I said, this is how I am and I live, and I am going towards my fairy tale end, and if you're going to be in on that, then here we go. It's all or nothing. And so he said, "Well, I want to be with you, so I am willing to give that a go."
There you go. You know what? I saw a picture, and you know what? They all look pretty happy.
Yeah, that's. I don't care. So, I don't care what's going on. My question is always like, what's your regular job though? Like, how are you making your money during the day? Like, you work for, Capital One?
I don't know.
You know?
Like, maybe you go as characters and then go to birthday parties.
And then what if you've got a job, like, maybe it's a gas station you're working at, and you have to have a dress code, but you're really the fairy princess? Can you fairy princess up that gas station outfit?
I think maybe she leaves it at home.
Think so?
Goes and, pumps some petrol.
Kind of conform to the outside world.
Man. Yeah, all right. Speaking of group situations, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department had to deal with a super spreader. And this was a task force that had to bust down a major swinger party. Hundreds of middle-aged people going at it.
That's not this illegal party.
People were at this location. We responded and detained probably close to 200 people. LA County Sheriff's Department was out tonight to enforce a public health order, and we will continue to do so.
This is 2 days in a row. This happened the other day in, like, it was Brazil. And when the cops showed up, 10 cops showed up to stop the swinger party. And the swingers thought they were the strippers. And they were all, like, stuffing down. The one guy said, I went home and I had a $10 bill shoved down my pants.
I always love to hear the who was there stories, like the principal coming out in a wrestler's mask. You know what I mean? There are people that walk around amongst us every day that would go to a party like this, and to each their own. And that is what's weird.
What's your skinny goal outfit? You know what I mean? Like, everybody's got something in their closet that they aspire to get to, whether that's putting on weight, losing weight, but you want to get into what? Elena, you guys talking about, what was the Asian thing you guys were doing that was called?
KonMari.
KonMari. Mm-hmm. And it basically means you look at every piece of clothing or anything in your house and you ask if it gives you joy. And if it doesn't, you have to kiss it and get rid of it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Okay.
If.
Did you have to kiss a lot?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about this because I looked at our closet and like my wife and I, like our master closet is just it's just gross mess. Probably like most people's.
Yeah.
But I was like, if I had to go clean a lot of this stuff out, is there anything in there? And then I went, oh, I forgot. So my wife had bought me, this was years, I think we were in New York City to see Lady Gaga. And my wife had bought, it's at H&M, right? Not M&H, it's H&M. She had bought me this really awesome shirt, but she had grabbed like the wrong size, I think.
Yeah.
And she got a large. I haven't been a large since I was probably ninth grade.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
And they have so a skinny fit there.
I have, right. It's a very skinny fit. And I feel like fat guy in a little coat when I tried it on. We got all the way back home.
Yeah.
And I put it on. I couldn't get my arms through the arm sleeves and I couldn't get it buttoned in front.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, so that's my skinny shirt. If I ever get skinny, that's my skinny outfit. Do you have a skinny outfit?
Okay. I am going to put it on my Snapchat and I'm going to turn my computer around. I don't want your reaction to make me feel bad. Okay, so let me take a picture real quick. Check out my Snapchat right now, Poobag Diva, all one word. Here we go. I ordered this, and I will get into it. Okay.
Ooh, that's aggressive.
It's very body-hugging.
Two-piece outfit, long-sleeve bodysuit, tops, long pants.
So it connects at the crotch.
It's a jumpsuit.
And then it's like a
she's
legging.
She looks like her...
What? What's wrong?
Thing is hungry.
So that's not Kylie Jenner. They put her face on there. Isn't that crazy? That's like Kylie Jenner's lower half of her face. She, just to sell this bodysuit.
She looks.
And it worked. I was like.
You bought a bodysuit.
Elena, I think you should come in here and just like give me your advice on what you think it looks like.
Your advice is going to be to not buy the bodysuit.
I think it looks really hot and I want to wear it someday. Maybe traveling on a private jet. But. That's my skinny outfit.
It looks like her lower half walked into the room and was like...
Yeah.
Elena, do you have a...
I like it.
Do you have a motivational outfit?
I don't actually, because everything that I buy, when I buy jeans, I get the flex stretch. Uh-huh. So even if I gain like a little bit of inches there, it's still, you know...
You're fits, buying pregnant so. Jeans for skinny people is what you're buying. All right. Elena, what are your thoughts? You saw the bodysuit.
Did you see it?
No, I haven't yet.
Oh, what kind of a time frame would you put Kat on to get into the bodysuit, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, she's been losing weight, right? Didn't you just say the other day you lost weight from all those...
I don't remember.
Oh.
I might have said that.
You said you lost all the pounds
I lie so much
already.
I don't remember. No, I really do. I feel like I am definitely like not as bloated as I used to be, but... I don't know.
So you feel skinnier.
I don't look like this and I know it.
But that's your motivation.
Yeah.
Here's the hard part about a bodysuit is if you hang that up in your closet, it's all shrunken down, right? It's like lycra spandex. So you don't see what it's supposed to look like.
Right.
That's the hard part about that. Like you can hang a shirt or a pair of pants up.
I feel like I'll know. I'll know when my body's there and then I'll try it on and then I'll look like a snack.
You want to time frame it for us? What's the goal? The goal to get into the bodysuit you just bought?
Yes. Let's do the end of March. Because I want to be like a banging 36-year-old. You know how Kim K only gets better with time? She's like a fine wine. That's what I want to be like. That's why I do all this stuff to my face.
So the end of March, you're going to be in that bodysuit.
Yeah, I'll be 36. Oh, my God. So.
I feel like you're going through some stuff.
You're making me think too much about
this.
Oh,
hey, I wasn't the one that was like...
You're putting me in a dark spot, man.
Ooh, David.
You, David.
If you want to find out what Kat's talking about, it's on her Snapchat. One word, poo bag diva. P-O-O-B-A-G-D-I-V-A. I want you to try and empathize with me a little bit here as I saw my wife getting groceries delivered the other day. And at our doorstep were 6 cases of bottled water. I go, what are we having people over? She goes, no, that's what the kids go through. Having my son home from college and both my kids at home schooling like full time, not back to school yet. I think our bottled water bill per month is in the area of $250.
That's so environmentally irresponsible.
Does this sound obnoxious to you? And I go, why can't they use water? I mean, they all have, what do you call the flasks? The hydro flasks? They all got those. Everybody, you get them one for, every birthday, every Christmas and everything like that.
Yeah.
Like they're all over the place. We got a whole cupboard dedicated to insulated water bottles.
So do you have filtered water? Is there a funky taste to it that they don't like?
No, we have great tap water. And then we've got a filter in the fridge.
Yeah.
There's no reason these kids should be going through all this water like this. But I find water bottles, it is the bane of my existence right now. I walk around my house and there is a half-empty water bottle everywhere I look. We are the problem with the earth burning the way it is.
What do you think would happen if they didn't have water bottles in the house?
Would they
die?
Probably. They probably all die.
So it's basically your wife's
fault. It has everything to do with like when they have friends over.
Yeah.
They'll take like half a case of water bottles with them up to the room or down to the basement or something like that.
Jeez.
I'm like, what? It's a Trish. We could buy a giant house with all the money we're spending on water bottles right now. I could have a new Mercedes.
So I thought some of the decisions you make with your money like this.
It ain't me. Listen, I don't control the money. I told you I get $6 a week. That's my responsibility. $6 is what I get. So I thought, all right, I think there's got to be some other people that are feeling this. Elena, what do you think is the biggest waste of money in your household?
Ordering food.
There it is.
We actually just looked at our credit card bills from last year, because you know they give you the circle pie graph or whatever,
the breakdown,
and you can see just how much money you spent on restaurants, and it's like, oh, there's Food Dudes, there's DoorDash. I mean, and actually it's crazy because a couple months ago when the restaurants kind of opened up again, we went out to eat and I was so shocked by our bill. It was only like $30-$40, and I was like, oh my gosh, we both got entrees, we both got drinks. We were so used to spending like $60-$70 for the exact same meal. Once you add the delivery charge, the tip, and all of that stuff, we spend a lot of money
on that. Takeout food is the biggest problem you've got. Kat, what's the biggest waste of money in your household?
I would hate to say that I call it a waste. It's just that I'm now spending more money on it. Usually, like before the pandemic, I would just get some Dial, you know, just some ugly Dial soap.
Oh.
And
like hand soap,
99 cents at Walmart, whatever. Now I have been splurging because there is something to, after you wash your hands, to have them smell really good. And I spoiled myself. And now I run upwards of probably $4 per bottle for hand soap. And so, I don't know, maybe $40 a month. We go through a lot of hand soap.
Before the pandemic hit, I didn't care what my hands smelled like before I left the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because I figured, whatever. I don't care if anybody cares that I wash my hands. But now I want to make sure that people know that I've washed my hands. So you think that when you leave there, if your hands smell good, people are going to think that you're not spreading it.
It made a difference with Liam because he wanted his hands to smell good. So now I know that he's washing his hands after he goes to the bathroom. So
I thought I'd just take a quick poll for anyone that's listening right now. As you're listening to the show, what was the first thing that popped into your mind? What is the biggest waste of money in your household? For Elena, you guys are eating out way too much. For Kat, you're spending way too much money on hand soap. For me, it's easy. These water bottles.
That's outrageous.
Bottled water is taking up hundreds of dollars of our family's income every single month. How's Michelle doing?
Good.
Talking,
how are you?
Great, thank you. We're talking about all these things your family's wasting money on. I'm finding out that we're spending upwards of $200 on bottled water, which is, I'm not a rich man, and this is driving me bananas. How about you? What are you guys spending or wasting family money on that's just way too much?
We're wasting on masks for sports to see which is the best one to wear during sport time.
You know what's going to happen?
You're going to spend all that money and then they're going to lift the ban?
No, I feel like he doesn't like them.
Well, nobody does.
Nobody.
This one's not good to wear. This one's not good to run in. This one's not good to,
Well, they can have shields, right?
No.
Yeah, they can.
I guess it depends on which sport.
Oh, well, basketball they can.
Yeah, it's really weird depending on what your association says and everything like that. But how much money do you think you've spent on masks since they've had to start masking up?
Say about 300.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the same. So I've, my son's a hockey player and my wife bought the one that goes, it links to the cage. And then she bought the little extenders. You know what I mean? They're like plastic extenders. So it doesn't suck in on you. She bought all this and he's just like, no, I'll just go regular mask.
Yeah.
She's like, I tried to make you more comfortable. He's like, I don't need it. I'm like, oh,
I think we'd be surprised at how little kids think about the masks. You know, it's like more so the parents projecting stuff. Because my kid, like, I gave him shields to wear throughout the day. And other kids wear shields in his class. But he's like, meh, I'll just wear my mask. I'm like, I don't know how you do it, man. So.
All right. Hey, thanks, Michelle. Have a great day.
Yep.
Take care. Then there's Amanda. What's going on, Amanda? How you feeling?
Good, good.
We're talking about the things you're wasting way too much money on right now. For me, it's bottled water. Elena and her fiance are just spending way too much on takeout because they're too lazy to cook. Kat over here is spending way too much on hand soap. How about you?
Gas.
Oh, I think people are spending way less gas. I mean, our family, everything got shut down. My wife doesn't go to work, so we're spending way less in gas. Why are you spending more?
So I've got 4 children, and some of them have disabilities like autism. Okay. And so we do have to do everything through Zoom. We did distance learning. We're now back, which has been awesome. But I am finding we are getting out of the house and traveling more, whether it's sometimes we just look at houses for sale. Sometimes we look at nature. We drove to Starbucks a couple of months ago just to look at buffalo that I saw when I was a kid. I was just like, hey, we're going to go for a drive. And we had an awesome time. So I'm probably spending double the amount that I have on gas.
Just to get out of the house.
Yeah. To do something. It's not even, we can't really go into anywhere. My kids have learned, you know, I'm going to run in for a minute. But we do a lot of traveling. We went to Duluth, and we weren't really able to go into places that we normally would, but we got to go to the pier. We got to go to the state parks and walk around and do things we normally probably wouldn't have done at the time that we did it.
And if I had told you 2 years ago, you're going to love just walking around, you'd have been like, you're nuts. I need to do things.
We were always super busy. I'm a student for my RN right now and doing distance learning and the kids in school and everything else. But now I feel like I'm even busier because they need that interaction, whether it's, you know, out in the world or just even seeing things that are outside of what's the negativity on the screen. Mm-hmm. We really limit screen time. We don't watch the news in front of them.
Yeah.
Nothing. We educate them directly. It's really scary.
I got you. Hey, thanks for calling today. This was a good insight. I hope you have a good day, Amanda.
Podcast. Download the podcast.
The Playhouse Podcast is made possible thanks to Bradshaw and Bryan Law Offices. Catch the live show weekdays from 5:30 to 9 on 104.7 KCLD. Now, share this with a friend. Immediately.
And hey, we have more podcast episodes available, so go check them out right now. Do it. Come on. Do it. Seriously. Do it.